Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Opening tip, LeBron being featured in his first Wheaties box cover ever. Scotty, is this bulletin board material for the Heat? The series isn't over yet.
No, but I will say this, it's well deserved.
It is well deserved. What took so damn long, tell you the truth?
Well, I don't know if this is his first Wheaties cover.
Well, you said, is this the first one? You said it was the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, sir.
It was the first. It's well deserved.
I believe it.
It was the first one. That's what I said. I totally meant it.
It is his first. I can confirm.
Welcome to The Jump, guys. I am Rachel Nichols. I'm joined here by NBA champ Richard Jefferson. But Richard, you only
have
one ring.
It doesn't matter. When I'm next to Scotty,
and
it doesn't
Scotty
matter.
Has six
it
rings.
It doesn't matter.
Scotty Pippen, always so nice to see you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure. I'm missing
too.
You guys in the studio.
I know, we miss you, Scotty. Coming up, we're going to talk about who's more deserving of Finals MVP right now, AD or LeBron. Brian Windhorst is going to join us later in the show. But first, for most players, just making the NBA Finals is one of the most elusive, precious moments in a lifetime of hard work and sacrifice. For LeBron James, well, it's been different. He was only 22 when he first got himself to one of these, and in the time since, he has played in so many, so regularly, he basically became like a baseball player stepping into the batter's box. You never want to whiff on a pitch, but if you do, hey, there's always another one coming. That is, until last season, when he and the Lakers never even got up to the plate. Last season, when LeBron dealt with the most significant injury of his career, when he started to feel the first real wisps of aging. You know, it's always interesting to watch truly great athletes go through this. I remember talking to Derek Jeter once about he was actually more nervous and grippy playing big games toward the end of his career than at the start. That it was just a whole different urgency once Father Time forced you to realize you're only getting so many more innings. So it wasn't a surprise yesterday to hear that before Game 4 between the Lakers and Heat, LeBron texted his team's group chat with two words. Must win. And he went even further when he talked to the media.
I just felt that. I felt that vibe. I felt that pressure. I felt like for me personally, this was one of the biggest games of my career. And just wanted to relay that message to my teammates, what type of zone I was in, what type of moment it was.
One of the biggest games of my career is quite the sentence when you think about, well, LeBron's career. But it's easy to see how he felt that way after a Game 3 where Jimmy Butler had given injury-ravaged Miami more than a little bit of hope. Game 4 was then set as the battle for the heart and soul of these NBA Finals. Bam Adebayo coming back from his shoulder injury only heightened things, as did Butler, who came out smoking in the first quarter, going 5-for-5. The Lakers, meanwhile, looked, well, a bit grippy and sloppy, too. L.A. had 9 first-half turnovers. LeBron himself had 5 of those. But L.A. got some nice contributions from their role players, including Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. KCP has not had the easiest go of it over the years from Lakers fans, who think the $38 million the team has paid him over the past 3 years has been excessive. But he has earned every penny over these finals. And Anthony Davis, who had a rough Game 3. Well, he earned his money last night, too. His defense on Butler was stellar. After the first quarter, Jimmy was just 1-for-7 with AD checking him. Although it was LeBron who met Jimmy at the rim toward the end of the game. Now, Butler got the better end of that. Although, as LeBron, you'll see he just slams the ball there. You can see it turn into a little bit of an Incredible Hulk moment. You know the whole, don't make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry line? Yeah, watch LeBron's response here. Dude splits the hedge, hits the shot off balance, and draws the foul.
He's too big to be splitting pick and rolls. If Bron can get through your pick and roll coverage with a split, that means that's awful defense. It's awful. This freight train.
The Lakers never trailed after that. LeBron would finish the game with 28 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, and the must-win win. Not that he felt satisfied afterward, and we know this because he tweeted early this morning that he was still awake more than 5 hours after the Lakers bus had left the arena. Maybe that was just adrenaline. Maybe he was already thinking about Game 5, which actually is now a must-win for Miami. But it sounds like it might feel like that for LeBron, too. He'll be 36 years old in just a few months. Even if he's still in what might be the longest prime in the history of professional sports, good health is never guaranteed. Basic math tells him there are only so many more of these pitches coming. And if last night is any indication, he certainly intends to hit this next one out of the park. What is your biggest takeaway from the Lakers' win last night? Because you're sitting next to me, so I can hear you.
Well, the crazy thing is that, you know, I think I texted you. I was like, they look a little nervous, right? They look like there's, like, a lot of pressure. And they, when you don't want to make mistakes, but you end up making mistakes and it mounts. You know, my takeaway from this is every series, and especially NBA Finals, there's a game that you have to win that you're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Anthony Davis hitting that big shot against Denver.
Yep.
We saw it last night where if someone would have told you with 2 minutes ago that the Miami Heat would have won that game, there'd have been no surprise. So the Lakers won a game that literally was 50-50, and that gave them control of the series.
You know, really, I think it's LeBron's, it's his will. He's imposed his will in this series like none other. Like, I've watched LeBron throughout his whole career, and the fact now that you see in this series, like, he's not waiting for Anthony Davis to light up or to get going. He's using his will. He's not allowing Miami to make these runs to gain the momentum, and that's the difference that I've seen in LeBron in these finals compared to what I've seen him in past. It's where he's given up the ball, he's went and stood in the corner. You see very little of LeBron taking off on plays in this NBA Finals.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have an option, right? That's what this team and the way this team especially made up on the offensive end. He doesn't have an opportunity to take a moment. Every single thing, and this is the first time, he hasn't been favored many times in all of these NBA Finals.
Yes.
Combine that with this is his first time up 2-0. It's kind of like everything is there for the taking, the fourth championship, so there's a different experience for him, well, even a guy that's been in the finals 10 times.
Well, I think in this series he does have options. I think Anthony Davis is having a heck of a series. I think Kentavious Pope is having a heck of a series. I think all of his supporting cast are having a great series, but I think it's the fact that LeBron has led. He has not followed, and he's forced these players to follow. In past season, LeBron has stood back, and been more of a guy who's facilitated. He's used his white will, and I think it's really because Jimmy Butler challenged him. He challenged his manhood, and he felt like that he had the upper hand on LeBron James. LeBron James is 17 years in this league, and he's still playing some of the best basketball that I've seen in any 17, 15, 14, 13-year-old vet that has played in this game.
Yeah.
He is playing like he's still got 5 years left in the tank.
And Scottie Pippen has seen some things in 17, 15 years, for sure.
Yeah.
I do want to get guys to the other side, and Bam Adebayo, the All-Star, returned to action last night after missing games 2 and 3 with that neck and shoulder injury. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist in his return to play. But a look at some advanced stats really illustrates his impact. The Heat's net efficiency, much better with Bam on the court last night. Scottie, how healthy did Bam look to you?
To me, he looked about 75%. When you're talking NBA Finals, you have to play 110%. And we have net yet to see him be pretty much 100% after he was injured in that first game, having to miss 2 games after that. He hasn't been at the level that he needs to be. And Jimmy Butler has raised his level of play. When you talk about playoff basketball, your play has to rise. And for the Miami Heat to be in this series right now, even with 1 win, it's really because of the will of Jimmy Butler. When Bam show up, this series will be a different series. But the Miami Heat right now are really in this series based on the will of Jimmy Butler. Bam, to me, has yet to raise his level of play up. And I think a lot of it is because of the injury that he took in game one.
Yeah, no, Scottie, you're correct. And you know this as well as anybody. To take 2.5 games out. Like, you missed, you play in the first half, and in 2.5 games, you're out of the NBA Finals, and now you're put back in a very intense situation. The game is moving extremely fast. I was actually impressed what he was able to do. But when we're talking about Bam's impact, you don't have to look any further than Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson struggled in the first couple of games, but now that Bam gets back, all of a sudden Duncan Robinson looks like a brand new player. That's because they lost Goran Dragic and Bam in the same half, and they are so much of the Miami Heat's offense that they cause so much pressure to pull in. That's what opens up good quality shots for Tyler Hero. That's what opens up opportunities for Jimmy to play one-on-one and for Duncan Robinson. So his impact isn't just on the team, but it's individual players that are more successful just by him being on the court.
And I got to tell you, guys, I felt bad for Goran Dragic last night. He also tried to go for this game. They let him warm up. I think the staff knew he wasn't going to be able to play, but he wanted to warm up so badly. He did go out there, hit some shots, looked good, until they tried to get him to move backward or side to side. And it wasn't even close, and it was clear that he was in a lot of pain. And he went and sat on the bench, and he was kind of emotional. We saw Bam, who is still dealing with this neck and shoulder injury and has taken those heavy hits out there from Dwight Howard, able to give it a go. Scotty, you played through a very tough back injury in the 98 finals. How were you able to do that while being in so much pain? And every injury is obviously really different.
You know, Richard, it's the will to want to win. You know, I felt like that we had an advantage in that series. I knew that my impact of just being on the court was important for us. But physically, yeah, I could have sit and, you know, and sit back on the sideline and watch my team, you know, either struggle or win a title or lose, whatever the situation may be. But, you know, I take my hats off to these players today. It's just a different game today. Obviously, the injury that he took was early in the series, and it kind of taken him out of the series for the first 2.5 game. But I think the most important thing is that, you know, he tried to give his best effort in last night's game, but his best effort wasn't good enough. And he has to play at a superstar level to give Miami Heat a chance to win.
Well, Scotty, don't take your hat off entirely, because I really do like the lid. So I appreciate the proverbial hat off to the Heat. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Miami, Jimmy Butler, the confidence of that team. They do not think they are going anywhere. I'll talk to Scotty and Richard about that level of belief next on The Jump.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
All right, guys, I do want to play some post-game sound from Jimmy Butler, who, as expected, not wavering in his confidence for himself or his team.
I don't think that it should. I just think we're so comfortable with who we are and how we play, that that's what we're going to go out there and do. And we're going to live with the end result. Obviously, we want it to be a win. But we just got to lock in on us, knowing that we can control a lot of these things. But our confidence ain't going nowhere. It's going to stay high. I'm going to make sure that it stays high, because it's going to have to be at an all-time high to get this next win.
Scotty, do you share Jimmy's confidence down 3-1? Do you think they can at least extend it past game 5? Let's start there.
I really do. I mean, based on how the games have went in this series, they've given themselves a shot in every game except for game 1. So I follow Jimmy. I feel his confidence. And I think, again, as I said earlier, if Bam can have the type of game that can really be an impact to cause the Lakers' defense to have to scramble, to cause the Lakers to have to double-team him, it's going to make a difference in this series. You think those kids are making open shots now. I think when Bam have a breakout game, it's going to change the series. And that's what I'm waiting on. And hopefully this series don't pass him by.
And look, this is going to be the toughest game, not just because it's a closeout, because you saw the impact that Bam Adebayo had. And now all of a sudden he's got a little bit of a rhythm. Everything's not moving super fast. He gets his win. But to me, when it comes to the Lakers and this Miami Heat team, everyone knows now that the Lakers have to play very good. They have to play a very good game of basketball to beat. If the Lakers came out and just play average, if they play just okay, they're going to lose to the Miami Heat. So the Lakers have pressure that they have to play good, if not great, to secure a victory. And sometimes that wasn't what we were kind of thinking going into this series.
Yeah, that is for sure. I mean, look, it was a one seed versus a five seed, and yet the Heat have given them all the fight they can handle. I mean, that win last night did not come easy. I've been very impressed by these guys, and I'm interested to see what happens in the next game. All right, coming up, we will discuss who your leader in the clubhouse is for Finals MVP. LeBron James has a case. Anthony Davis has
Jimmy
a case.
Jimmy Butler.
We'll discuss all that next.
The biggest stage. I'm ready for this.
We have to learn from our mistakes and be better on Tuesday.
Welcome to game four of the NBA Finals. Bam Adebayo back in it. James goes inside and throws it down. Bam Adebayo back up and in. James, a couple of three-point bombs. James against Butler, one-on-one. Baseline shot, it's good. Butler drives and the game is tied. Davis for three. Bang! The Lakers are back in control of these NBA Finals.
We'll have Game 5 of the NBA Finals Friday, 9 o'clock Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the app. Lakers lead the Heat 3-1. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 8:30 Eastern. And welcome back to The Jump. Brian Windhorst joining us from the Cobra Dome. Welcome, friend. You know, before Game 4, LeBron texted his teammates the words, must win. The Lakers had a 2-1 series lead then, and as we showed you at the top, here's his explanation for that.
When I woke up from my nap this morning after our team meeting, I just felt that vibe, felt that pressure. I felt like for me personally, this was one of the biggest games of my career. I just wanted to relay that message to my teammates, the type of zone I was in, the type of moment it was, because I just know how great of a team that we're playing against. But I feel like if we want to be a championship ball club, if we really want to be championship team, that we got to have that same grit and that same attitude.
So, Brian, you literally wrote the book on LeBron. Are you buying that last night was one of the biggest games of his career?
Well, he's got to say what he's got to say to motivate his teammates and, you know, whatever. That's his job. This wasn't even in the top 20 of his biggest games of his career. The biggest game of his career was 2012 Conference Finals, down 3-2 in Boston. He loses that game, his whole career might have a different tenor to it. This wasn't even, in my view, in the top 10 or 15 finals games of his career. All three games that he played with Richard Jefferson, down 3-1 against the Warriors, were bigger. When he was down 3-2 against the Spurs and he came back and won those two games, those are bigger. There's more, but look, whatever LeBron's got to do to get his team fired up, God bless. He's been in a lot of adverse situations, and this was not one of them.
Brian, nobody knows LeBron better than you. And I will say that this was a piece of motivation, but I also see the importance of what LeBron is saying. You're talking about a guy who's played 17 years in the league. He don't have the same few that he had 10 years ago. But you're also talking about a guy that he has a chance to be an alpha. When you talk about winning a championship for the Los Angeles Lakers and being the alpha dog, that puts you in Mount Rushmore. And I know exactly where LeBron is going because he thinks that this is going to mark him as the greatest player to play the game.
No, you guys both have some great points, but you know, we all know, like, your most important game is the next one. And I think that's kind of the mentality that he was taking. Now, he is in uncharted territories here. Of all those finals that he's ever been in, he's only been favored a couple of times, and he's never been up 2-0. So as players, as much as you want to hold on, sometimes you can feel things slipping away. I'm pretty sure that they knew that Bam Adebayo was going to play in this game. So when they say must win, that means the longer Bam plays, the more energy this Miami team gets. So he said, look, we had a chance to have a grip on this series and go up 3-0. We lost it. Now here's our chance to go up 3-1. This is a must win because, as we know, 2-2 is a completely different monster. And I think that's why he was saying this this was the most one of the most important games of his career because of what was at stake if things started to slip away.
And also a little bit about what I talked to at the top, which, Richard, I saw you nodding at. Scotty, I'm interested in your opinion, too. As the chances get fewer and fewer, as you know, you've got less at-bats at it. I've watched it with so many athletes. I mentioned Derek Jeter. I watched it with Pete Sampras. I saw it with Brett Favre. There are so many guys who have had these incredible careers. And in the final year or two, you can see them almost getting more nervous and holding on a little more tightly than they ever did earlier, more in their quote-unquote prime, because they know this is toward the end. And I'm not saying LeBron's going to retire after these finals. He could have three more years of doing this. But compared to the 17 years, that would make this the end stage. And I just think you start approaching it a little bit differently when you know there aren't that many more at-bats at the plate.
Yes, there is not very many more.
I definitely feel like that. LeBron is taking an approach that, you know, he don't know when he's going to have this opportunity again. But he's also trying to minimize the amount of games that he have to play as a player. I mean, he's been in the league 17 years.
Absolutely. All right, well, LeBron does lead the Lakers in points, rebounds, and assists in the finals. He is the odds-on favorite to win finals MVP. Anthony Davis has been the team's defensive anchor, but if you look at the Vegas odds makers, they have him as a distant second. Scotty, in your mind, who is more worthy of finals MVP at this point in the series? Anthony Davis, LeBron James, someone else?
Well, the whole team for being in that damn bubble. But to be honest, I got to take my hats off to LeBron James. To be able to fuel the fire that he's running with right now is amazing. 17 years in the league, leading his team in numerous of categories. You know, his leadership, his will, his dominance, like, how is he still doing this at 17 years in the league? What's still motivating him? You know, he's my clear choice.
LeBron is going to win the MVP of this series. He's going to win it for a bunch of different reasons, but I'm going to give you one that is going to make it even more so. Well, LeBron called out the people who didn't vote for him on the regular season MVP. And the people who will be voting most likely will be in the room with him when he's holding that trophy, and he will stare into their faces at the end if anybody didn't vote for him, and those votes are made public instantly. No one's going to want to face him when he's had the kind of bubble performance that he has had. He is the worthy MVP. He gets one more victory. He's going to be the first player ever to win three MVPs with three different teams.
I hate this question. I hate this question so much because it's not done. And I know it's not done. And so you have to step into a player's mentality for a second. It's like after game two, it was like 50-50. Anthony Davis was playing great. He had that amazing performance. And there were questions about who it was going to be. Then game three comes along and Jimmy Buckets show up. And you're like, yo, like Jimmy just had a game for the ages. Then the next game, obviously the Lakers are winning. I just think that the job is not done. Not saying that this talk is premature, but yes, LeBron James, if his team is able to win this championship and able to win one more game, LeBron is the man that orchestrates their offense, their motivation, every single thing about him. While Anthony Davis's numbers might be a tweak better here and there, he might finish with better numbers. But remember the Giannis Antetokounmpo situation. He had better numbers, his usage rate. But was he the best player? And I think we would fall into the same conversation. Anthony Davis's numbers might be a little statistically better here or there, but ultimately, he's not the best player on their team.
Scotty, I'm interested in something you said just a few minutes ago about legacy. If LeBron does win finals MVP, if he wins his fourth title with his third franchise, and that third franchise is, as you noted, the historic Los Angeles Lakers, what does that do to LeBron's legacy overall and how history is going to see him?
Well, I think it says a lot. You know, when you can go to three different franchises and win a title for them, not just take them to the finals, but, you know, to be able to bring the hardware home and to be able to do it for the Los Angeles Lakers, to be able to lead 17 years in a league is unheard of. It's uncharted waters. There's no one that could lead a team even after 15 years. So kudos to LeBron. He's had a heck of a career still going, and his ability to lead a team to the finals 10 times is amazing. You know, just his good health, his ability to stay on the court, his ability to stay effective and not just be a guy that's just hanging around. He's an impact player, and he's a major impact player. And a lot should be said about, you know, what he brings to the game night in and night out.
Now, look, there's never going to be, in my opinion, a clear-cut greatest of all time. Right? There is a Mount Rushmore. I think that's where we need to get rid of the greatest of all time and just talk about who's on the Mount Rushmore. And I think when you look at what LeBron James is able to do, he's doing things that has never been done in history. And he's also, you know, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Bill Russell and Kareem.
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson. All of these guys have done things, you're right, Rachel, that have never been done in history. But LeBron James has his own check mark. It's like, hey, this has never been done. And you have to compliment him because a lot of times when he showed up in places, he either changed the culture or he increased the culture. And I think that's what's so impressive. What he did when he went back to Cleveland, when he did when he showed up in LA, he took franchises that were literally near the bottom and took them to a championship and to the finals within 2 years. And that's impressive.
I would also say that finals MVP is more about winning than almost anything else, right? And you talked about regular season MVP votes. Brian, I would say that while we usually give the MVP to someone with a, you know, superior top, you know, 5% of the league record, there's a lot that goes into that in terms of, did you play in the East? Did you play in the West? Are you leading the league? Are you leading your conference? All kinds of other things. And it does become more about the statistics of what you did over 82 games because you can't win all 82 games. The finals, you can win or lose the finals. That is the answer. And I think LeBron is probably more responsible for their winning overall, at least through what we've seen so far, than anyone else on that court. But as Richard says, still to come. Richard said to me during the break, I would assume what, that you wouldn't want when you guys were down 3-1?
I was like, yeah, it was a Steph Curry, you know, was going to get his first finals MVP. And that's not a shot at them. It's just like answering these questions while there's still meat on that bone. That's a tough one.
Wow. All right, coming up, a lot of champions. Threats this postseason. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Mark Spear's piece, The Education of Myers Leonard on the Undefeated. This is Leonard, in his own words, reflecting on why he is standing for the national anthem and learning from his African-American teammates along the way here in the bubble. Really open piece. I was impressed with him.
Look, man, I'm proud.
Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm still joined by Richard Jefferson, Scottie Pippen, Brian Windhorst. Let's talk about some of the teams during the playoffs that did not really meet expectations here. First up, I want to revisit the playoff bracket, starting with the Eastern Conference.
We don't need to see a bracket. We know who they are.
Okay, so which Eastern Conference team, Richard Jefferson, do you think has the most regret right now as we sit here literally sweating in the middle of the NBA bubble?
Look, it is actually really, really close, in my opinion, between the Celtics and the Bucks. Those are my two teams because I think the Celtics felt like they could have won that Miami Heat series.
Did you tell the producers Philadelphia?
I didn't tell them Philadelphia. I never said, I was talking about the Bucks. It's the Bucks. They had the two-time MVP. They had the best record 2 years in a row, and they had the coach of the year 1 year. So they've had all of the pieces. And so to not reach a finals and to actually regress from where you made it to last year, that is a tough one.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to piggyback off of Richard there. It's, to me, it's the Bucks. I mean, you definitely have the best player in the game, at least in the regular season, and you know, you get in this bubble and you're not able to perform. But I think it all falls back that the Milwaukee Bucks was just not a good road team. So when you put them in a bubble and you put them in a place where they're not having those home court advantages, then it really affected them because they were the best team in basketball, at least at home.
Yeah. My guess is that the Celtics are not over losing to the Heat. And they're looking at this and the Lakers and saying, Look what the Lakers have done to destroy the Heat zone. I mean, I realize that the Celtics don't have Anthony Davis. You could argue whether or not they should have gone after him a year ago, but okay, they didn't. They just did some real basic principles against the zone that has broken it from the Heat. The other thing is Tyler Hero, he has had some moments in this series, but for the most part, he's been low efficiency. The Lakers have been able to slow him down. The Celtics could not solve that. And so those are two just schematic things. For as much credit as Brad Stevens gets, I think the game plans of the Lakers have just been better, and that could have been found by the Celtics.
All right, I want to shift to the Western Conference then. Scotty, of the West team, who do you think has the most regret?
Well, we don't need no bracket, Scotty.
Let me see. You know, it's definitely the obvious. It's the Clippers. You know, we were expecting a Western Conference, you know, championship going with the Clippers and the Lakers, and, you know, they were just disappointing. And, again, I'm going to go back to what I said about the Milwaukee Bucks. You have to be able to go on the road and get road kills. And if you're not a good road team, the bubble doesn't work for you because you're only comfortable playing at home.
The Clippers were one of the historically great disappointments in NBA history. Not only having that team that was built to win the finals, but to lose a 3-1 lead the way they did. There has already been significant fallout with Doc Rivers. There will be more significant fallout. And when those changes happen, it'll be because they couldn't get over it because of the regret, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, I agree. I understand that this series was going to get closer. You know, as it got closer, this team, the Clippers, really struggled. And, you know, to go back to the Lakers with that must win, they've seen so many 3-1s and so many other stuff. You want to get a stranglehold of a series as quickly as possible. And the Clippers had that against the Denver Nuggets team, and they just couldn't close out. But that's not the worst part. The worst part of this was the fourth quarter of Game 7, where they went full Chernobyl. They went full meltdown. There was nothing left. Like, I'm telling you, I was standing there, and the media was behind me, and you're just watching. I turned around to see everyone's faces, and they were like, what is going on? We had not seen a meltdown like that since Chernobyl.
Richard, just for everybody's information, watched the Chernobyl documentary.
I have a lot of time.
I have a lot of time on my hands. So.
That was the same season, by the way.
Was it?
It was a year ago. It was a year ago, like 2 days ago.
I want to say this about the Clippers. You know, Richard, you're calling a meltdown.
Yes.
I call the Clippers a lack of leadership because I still don't know who the leader of that team was this season. And if you could tell me, we both know.
Okay.
Well, here's what we know. The Clippers and Steve Ballmer didn't think that it was Doc Rivers, as Brian pointed out. So maybe things will change there next season. We will see.
Do they have a coach yet?
Well, they did not yet, Richard. We're going to take a quick break here on The Jump, but stick with us. We'll be right back. We will introduce Richard to some other global disasters so you can make a difference.
No, that's a meltdown. That's a full-on meltdown.
Everything's Chernobyl.
Never go
everything's Chernobyl.
100%. Everything's been Chernobyl.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
It's crunch time here on The Jump. Brian Windhorst, Russell Westbrook left a tip for the Disney hotel staff that, according to a Dallas Morning News report, amounted to $8,000. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I have to say, the pressure is now on the Heat and Lakers after they heard that. You guys better go into that wallet. Jimmy Butler, we've seen the commercial with the guy straightening his beers in the fridge and making him towel animals. No, I think it's tremendous. Congratulations to Russ, and those folks have earned it. They've put so much on the line, and I'm sure other NBA players have been generous as well.
Forget pressure on the Heat or Lakers. Richard Jefferson, ex-NBA player slash current millionaire.
I'm just going to say this, like, I have so much respect for everybody now that I've been here, everything that has gone on, but I haven't had any swans made out of towels, so I'm just saying.
Drew Holiday named the Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year. The award recognizes the player, quote, deemed to be the best teammate based on selfless play, on and off court leadership, as a mentor or role model to other NBA players, and commitment and dedication to the team. Shout out Drew Holiday. Scotty, how impressed are you by Drew Holiday and what kind of teammate he appears to be for those Pelicans guys?
I was very happy, very impressed with his leadership. Anthony Davis came in, and you know, that trade, he got a bucket load of new players, but his leadership and his ability to make that team exciting this year. Looking forward to seeing him in the full season with Zion and Ingram. It should be exciting.
One of the highest character players in the league, and I also want to remind everybody he donated his salary during the bubble to charity.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is awesome.
Well, there's a reason why he's up in trade rumors every single year. It's because lots of teams want him.
Yes.
And we're not going to – look, I'm not going to say anything about having him having two brothers to help him get some more votes, but he is definitely deserving of that.
Come on, Richard.
I'm just kidding.
Come on. He is not the only player in the NBA with two brothers also in the NBA who could have voted, and he still won.
That's fair.
All right, Alvin Gentry joining the Sacramento Kings as an assistant head coach, associate head coach, which I believe means he is the lead head coach. Richard, is that good or bad for your friend Luke Walton?
I think this is great. Luke had a great relationship with him in Golden State. He's been a head coach in multiple places. And I think, look, the Sacramento Kings, I love my guy Luke, but they have issues. They have issues. They need talent. You're not going to win without talent. They had a good team a little bit ago. Yeah, but ultimately, what I really, really feel with the Sacramento Kings is that they need to get some more talent. They need to develop the guys that they have in there.
Two things I'm going to say. Number one, Luke Walton's seat is hot, without question. But Alvin Gentry and he worked together in Golden State, so this is a comfortable situation. But remember, there's been a GM change. There'll be other changes there as well.
I think this is a great move. We saw what Alvin Gentry's been able to do with young players like he did in New Orleans. So I think this is exciting for the young players.
Yeah, and look, I think also it is a show of strength for Luke Walton, obviously. Yeah. Alvin Gentry's not getting hired, everybody, unless Luke Walton wanted him to be hired. Yeah. It's not like this was done behind Luke's back. So they were very close in Golden State. The fact that he is comfortable with having another former head coach on his coaching staff says good things about Luke. And by the way, we saw the same thing with Frank Vogel, where everybody was like, oh, Jason Kidd's on your staff, Lionel Hollins is on your staff.
Best staff possible.
There you go. That's going to be a threat to you. And guess what? It turned out to be such a strength. So I wish the Sacramento Kings the best on that front as well. We have had everything going on in this show. Audio issues, visual issues, someone
walking through.
But we'll be back tomorrow, people.
You're going to be back. I'm not.
I'm not.